tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. After a courageous effort by our home team, the Chicago White Sox, we bring on our tech expert, Steve Van Dinter, for Tech Tuesday. And be sure to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good happening at the end of the show. But now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio here in Chicago, it's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Barbara Bush was born Barbara Pierce on June 8, 1925 in New York City. Her mother, Pauline Pierce, the daughter of an Ohio Supreme Court justice who was dedicated to the conservation efforts as a chairwoman of the Garden Club of America. Barbara's father, Marvin Pierce, was a distant descendant of the 14th President of the United States, Franklin Pierce, and president of the McCall Corporation, which published, of course, the many well-known magazines like McCall's and Red Book. We have lost First Lady Barbara Bush, who is the first woman since Abigail Adams to be both a first lady and a first mother, having been the mother of, course, George W. Bush. And we have a little bit of audio from an interview that I was going through a lot of audio with Barbara Bush and looking at some interviews. And I thought it'd be interesting to listen to a sample of some of her thoughts, reflections on her time in the White House and since then as well. And this is an interview from 1994. She had just released a book based on her diary that she kept while she was in the White House. Here she is with Larry King.
Why, Barbara, did this very private person, which you are, write this?
Well, because my husband couldn't keep a job. No, because
that's a good pat line on the book tour.
Right.
Now, why?
You've been there.
Why did you write it?
Well, because I really didn't plan to write a book, but three publishers came to me at the White House after George lost and said, "We would like to publish your book." I said, "Well, I don't have a book." And they said, "Well, it's a well-known fact that you have kept diaries." And then they offered me a sum I couldn't say no to. I'm going to tell you the honest truth.
That kind of offer.
That kind of offer. It was very nice. And Larry, it turned out to be absolutely the best thing that could have happened to me. I loved writing it.
Why?
Well, because I always knew that I was lucky and that life had been good to me. But I really remembered again how really good it had been.
Because some people, when they face the catharsis of a book, and in order for a book to be successful, it has to be honest,
have a difficult time letting it out. I loved writing the book. And let me just give you an example. I told George this on the phone this morning or last night before I went to bed, he called. I awakened Monday morning in New York City having said goodbye to George Bush. And I looked and the airplane went into the White House and a lot of things happened. The Pope, Arafat met with Rabin. A lot of things happened. And I sat and watched the news. Darling Jessica Tandy died and Hume Crome. I thought about Cronin. And I thought, you know, I knew every single person or place that was on that television set thanks to George Bush, with the exception of Arafat, and George did meet him this year, but every other person knew me and I knew them.
Quite a life.
That's an amazing life. I knew it from writing the book, but I told George, I said, it really struck me how really great a life you've given me.
But also,
Barbara Bush, again, has passed away at the age of 92. We'd heard over the weekend that she was no longer going to seek a cure or further treatment to prolong her life, instead choosing to pass peacefully with hospice care. If you have any thoughts or comments you'd like to share with us, 312-981-7200. A woman who worked very hard in the field of literacy and community volunteering, working for people who were less fortunate. And I think that she was a remarkable woman. We've been playing a clip of her interview on WGN Radio where she talked about there should be no shame or embarrassment if you don't know how to read. She said, "It's not your fault, it's ours." And I just think that was a remarkable thing to say, a really insightful thing to say, in that we have a really an obligation to each other. More after this on 720 WGN.
She was First Lady of the United States from 1989 to 1993 and the mother of George W. Bush, the 43rd president. Barbara Bush was amazed by her unique role in American history. Campaigning for her son, she joked about becoming the matriarch of a political dynasty.
I hit the wrong button and sent that to Rob a little bit too early. My apologies to everybody. I didn't realize that we were going to continue rolling. I'm trying to be on time, Michael. We have these meetings where it's like, hey, make sure you hit the news on time. Make sure you hit the spots on time.
You got real early.
I got so early, Esmeralda. I was all excited to go to the news. And of course, Rob Martyr, once again, talking about the life of Barbara Bush, first lady, who has passed away at the age of 92. And I felt badly last night. I had posted a picture of Barbara Bush reading to some young children in the White House. That to me always stood out. Her commitment to sharing literacy with children and adults, wanting to make sure that people had access to the opportunity of reading and that world that it opens up. And, you know, a lot of people can have arguments one way or the other on politics. When it comes right down to it, though, it really the work that you commit yourself to speaks volumes. And I think that Barbara Bush was somebody who set an example, who, was one of my favorite first ladies. And I always appreciated her thoughts, her interviews. I thought she had an incredible sense of humor. We'll play some more audio of some speeches that she had given recently. Esmeralda, do you kind of get wrapped up in the idea of the first ladies and there's always talk about their fashion. I think that with Barbara, it was probably less so because she was a very matter-of-fact woman, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I always compare her to Reagan.
Nancy Reagan?
Nancy Reagan. Just the differences.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, yes. Just the differences. Yes. Like, wow.
Yes. There was a down to earthiness about Barbara Bush, I thought. So much so as when I was at the Smithsonian, they have an entire exhibit of the first lady's gowns going, like their inaugural gowns and maybe their day to day gowns and different dresses and wardrobe. And I was standing in front of Barbara Bush's and I kind of laughed because it looked, I'm going to be honest with you, it looked a little bit like my prom dress.
Oh,
it was I had the same color. It was sort of this blue. It was pretty. It was a mix of, it looked like a mix of taffeta and velvet. It was very nice. It was a pretty color. Great color on her. But it was also, to be honest with you, it was the fashion trends of the time. You were still like from the 80s to the 90s. We kind of had that that look, whether it was a taffeta or kind of like the poofy sleeves. But she was definitely a complete contrast to her predecessor, Nancy Reagan, who, you know, we often were looking at the kinds of gowns because Nancy was a very slight, she was a very small, petite woman. And Barbara was like, you could imagine her like, you know, roping some calves. You know, she was a woman who I felt could handle her own, given the circumstance, any set of certain circumstances. But I think that it was also that she never, did it ever strike you that, you know, she never dyed her hair. I don't know why that's something that I always thought, you know, good for her. She's herself. She's down to earth and is going to be herself and not change anything about her appearances to be the first lady. Do you know what I mean? It was.
Well, yeah, again, just the contrast between her and Nancy Reagan. Like Nancy Reagan looked very much like she was very much into her, you know, taking care of, you know, the hair color and makeup and all that. And yeah, Barbara Bush is not. She didn't care.
She did not.
She's like, whatever.
She did not seem in it. And I don't know. That was that forthrightness about her. Let's take a quick break here because I think I can do that. And I will come back after this on 720 WGN. I just, Michael, something interesting just happened. There's a listener from the Netherlands. Our friend Cliff in the Netherlands wants to know. He says, we've only been able to hear the last hour of your program. A man seems to be hosting the first hours. During the White Sox broadcast, is there another show streaming on WGNradio.com? I think so.
Yeah, there must be, because I think that we have two streaming processes here. So it's on air and then on streaming, but I'm not sure who it is. Who is it?
Steve Van Dinteren Studio. You were listening on the online?
Yeah, so for some reason I'm too lazy to actually turn the dial on my radio, and I just ask my Android Auto to turn on WGN. And yeah, they were talking tonight about Martin Luther King, and they were talking to a former alderwoman who had been influential.
So it was Justin Kaufman's show, it sounds like. It was Justin Kaufman's show. You would think, I think we're going to have to request that during White Sox broadcast when it's going over my show, maybe they want to use my show rebroadcast. Podcasts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would probably, just so it doesn't seem so
strong choice.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't we go ahead and put that request in. It will not happen again until July, by the way, our friends in the Netherlands. But what a great message to get from Cliff Morris in the, I'm sorry, Cliff, was I not supposed to say your last name? I apologize. Thank you, Cliff. Met Virten, I don't know how to say whatever. Do you speak?
I don't, but I'll try to work that out. Yeah,
yes.
No.
So I, yeah, that is, I am a little bit, can we check and see which is farther? The Netherlands, I'm going to guess that the Netherlands are farther away than Italy. I'm just thinking about my globe in my head. If I were to fly to see our friend Davide, I think it would be, I think that we go to Italy and visit Davide and then go to the Netherlands and visit our friend Cliff. Oh my gosh. You know what? This is good. These are our billboards. Steve Van Dinter, Michael Heidemann, Ezra Leon. Here's my idea for billboards for this show.
Well, let's hear it.
We're the morning drive time in the Netherlands.
I love it.
We're the number one Chicago talk show in Italy for your morning drive. This is, but we put the billboards here. We just
you heard it first here.
I'm just, no.
This is great. There's a lot of good spots on the canals for those.
No,
billboards.
Here we put them in Chicago.
Oh.
We say number one Chicago talk show. In Italy.
That makes sense.
I think the morning drive.
You wouldn't be lying.
I would not be lying. See? And then people would wonder what that means, and then they would have to tune in at 11 p.m. because it's actually...
They're going to think we're...
Different. Yes.
So it's actually a salutation. It says, with kind regards.
Oh, thank you, Cliff, for your
in
kind
Dutch.
Regards. From the Netherlands. I appreciate that. In Dutch even. Excellent. Thank you, Cliff. We also are getting some texts in about Barbara Bush. The first lady has passed away at the age of 92. Also, of course, the mother of George W. Bush. Rest in peace. First Lady Barbara Bush, she was a down-to-earth, classy lady, a great public servant, and her work toward literacy was perfect. Wonderful sense of humor. She will be forever in history of one of America's first ladies. Thank you for that, Tracy. And let's see. I ended up listening yesterday and was not happy. Oh, this is about, again, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I apologize to listeners who, and not that I apologize that you heard Justin. I would think it would be kind of strange that if you tune in, you would think that maybe a rebroadcast of this show would be more, just what you might be looking for from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So my apologies. But thank you for wondering where I was. I'm right here, and it will not happen again until July 20th when we, I believe, take on Seattle. And then again that following week, it will be on the 23rd, 24th when we play Los I think we were going to be in L.A. So that will be the only other time, Steve Van Dinter, where we will bump you until nearly 1 a.m. in the morning.
No worries.
And you have had an adventure recently in this, people are calling this our sprinter because...
Yeah, they were calling it Minnesota, where I was.
What took you to, I mean, here's the thing. I try not to be on the road when I am worried or concerned about inclement weather. I don't like driving in the snow. You know, flying is a little bit different because, you know, usually you can travel in the snow and icy conditions. But what took you to Minnesota this past weekend?
Yeah, so I was up there on Friday to speak at a broadcast journalist conference, the Midwest Broadcast Journalist Conference. We were talking about some of the cool tech you can use to help enhance your storytelling process for them. So really had a great conversation. It was fun to be part of the panel discussion. And then I got the text message from my airline that the flight was canceled. I was able to get rebooked on a 6:30 a.m. Monday flight, but... You know, I was like, man, I'm going to have to spend the whole weekend up here. Fortunately, I have a good friend who works up that way, so I was able to crash at his place. But I was not anticipating the storm that we ended up getting.
No kidding.
I mean, this was the biggest snowstorm I've ever been a part of in my life, and it's like mid-April.
And you've lived in Wisconsin?
I did.
Illinois,
Yeah, I grew up in Northeast Wisconsin, and, you know, we got our fair shares of good-sized storms. But this thing started Friday, and it went straight through to when I left on Sunday. It was still going.
Let me take a break here for our news. We're going to talk to Steve Van Dinter about his adventures in the snow, but we're also going to turn and see if maybe he's got some fun stuff for how we're going to enjoy the warm weather, whether it's cameras or maybe Bluetooth speakers. I don't know.
It's coming.
White Sox had a tough game. They actually were playing in Oakland, where it seemed to also be very chilly because the White Sox, the White Sox were dressed as though it was baseball season. The Oakland A's were dressed as though they were playing in Wrigley, because everyone in Wrigley was wearing like those like face masks, and you see all the fans like wearing blankets and stuff. This is some cold, cold weather. Our tech guru Steve Van Dinter just came back from Minnesota, where they had a full-on blizzard. How many inches did you say they got?
It was a record for them for April. So it was like 17.6 officially at the airport, it was pushing 2 feet or more with the drifts in the area I was staying downtown. It was crazy. I had to keep looking at my calendar and be like, we are talking about April, right?
I know, everyone's doing it. And I've held off from talking about it very much, about the weather, because everyone's talking about it. But now we're starting to get a little bit crazy.
We're pushing it now. I mean, yes, they were going over the top. So I was watching the news up there, and it was pretty funny. I mean, I having been from Wisconsin, I know the feeling of like cabin fever after this. I mean, I feel bad for them. It's been a very long winter, and to get something like this dropped on you. But there were folks, they were showing a car dealership where they put the Christmas tree back up.
Right.
Everybody wore Christmas sweaters, and they were just pretending it was the holiday season again.
Yep.
And there were
that's hysterical.
Other Minnesotans,
I kinda love that,
who were out like,
yeah,
pictures of them laying on like lawn chairs, like just saying, hey, it's spring, so we're gonna do spring, like regardless of what the weather looks like. So.
And that seems to be what a lot of people are doing. They're dressing as though it's spring,
right,
and it's cold. I do enjoy the differences of how people are partaking in this. As are you dressing like it's winter or like it's spring?
I mean, I'm still wearing my winter coat.
Me too.
And mom, she came to this, they live in the suburbs, and my mom was wearing on this past weekend just like a raincoat type of deal.
Right.
And she's like, why are you wearing your winter coat? I'm like, because you don't know. It's just cold.
It can change at any
exactly.
moment. I agree. I've got my scarf. I've got gloves. I've got, my winter coat. I don't have like winter boots on, but they're still kind of.
And you got to keep your scraper and your snow brush. I mean, you can't put that away.
No. Although I do have to say, and I worry about saying this out loud on the air, because, you know, they have all these like car hacks. You know, when you have these videos that pop up on your Facebook,
yeah,
and there was a one of these videos that says to have a spray bottle with rubbing alcohol and water in it to to get the ice and defrost your, you know, clear off your windshield when it's got that ice on it.
Yeah.
And I
Does
thought,
it work?
Why don't we have a yes? And why don't we have a winter mix for our windshield wiper fluid that is part alcohol, rubbing alcohol, so that we don't have that problem when we're on the roads?
Let's patent it right now, Patty.
I know, I shouldn't have said it out loud. It's too late now. The horse is out of the barn. They're going to be doing that in the Netherlands,
right? Exactly.
Davide in Italy is going to be like, wait a minute, we have snow too. So we are wistfully looking forward to warmer weather.
I know.
And do you kind of wish that you'd gone to the Dominican Republic now?
I mean, we thought it back in February it was going to be a nice break from the winter, but I mean, could have planned it in mid-April this year, not a problem.
I have a friend who's in Arizona, and she's taking pictures with like cactuses or cacti?
Cacti, I think, yeah.
Yes. And she and I am, and she's got cocktails by the pool, and it's fine. It's Chicago. This is how it goes.
Right, we got this, right?
We got this. I think it's more this, more than anything else, for those who are like, oh my God, Chicago, how can you not expect this? Right now, it's a little more psychological.
Yeah.
Because you have that want, that desire to, you know, just bask in warm sunlight.
And you know what's kind of a slap in the face? Because last year, if you remember, Easter was around this time, mid-April. And so Facebook was like bringing back pictures of my family gathering when we got together last year in the suburbs. And it was 80 some degrees. And the trees were in full bloom. The magnolias had like big flowers on them. I'm looking outside now going, it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a bit. And you saw my photo. I was in D.C. last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on Thursday, it was in the 70s. It was glorious.
So nice.
So nice. I was like overdressed, and I was only wearing like a light jacket. And I'm like, it's so warm. So yeah, it's fun.
You know what it does though? It makes us appreciate those beautiful spring days when they finally come.
Does it help you or hurt you if I tell you that there's going to be more snow here tomorrow?
I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be, and I think that when they say it's slush turning into, they call it, what is it, icy rain?
Wintry mix.
Yes. Wintry mix turning into snow. But still, I believe it's not going to be as bad as what you encountered in Minnesota.
Yeah, if we end up with 20 some inches, I'm flying the coop and going south.
Yeah. Somebody is pointing out that perhaps the reason that we don't have a winter mix for the windshield wiper fluid is that it would be flammable.
Good point.
Yeah. You don't put that too close to the engine. Okay, fair enough. Thank you for the 224.
Problem solved.
Yeah, don't be doing that. All right, fair. So don't.
Business plan blown up right there.
By the way, then I do want to point out that if you heard me say, why don't we have a winter mix, do not prepare your own mix and put that into your windshield wiper container. I've done a horrible thing.
Yeah, this is not good.
No, I was just sort of wondering.
I wonder if it's meant, though, more for like your locks and things like that, as opposed to like windshield. And
oh, no, this is on the windshield. They were spraying with water. It had one part, like, it was diluted significantly.
Yep.
But the rubbing alcohol was enough. It was significant enough to de-ice the windshield. But yes, also for your locks as well. Oh, I love this. Glenn, what's going on at your Walmart? Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, you know that solution for your windshield wipers? Does it have to be rubbing alcohol?
Well, I haven't tried anything else. What would you try that's perhaps not flammable?
Well, if it doesn't work, I was going to say if it doesn't work on the windshield, at least you can just sit in your car and drink it.
Well, yeah. So you're asking if I could put water windshield like Jack Daniels in water if it doesn't work out? Yeah, you wait for
water?
It to thaw.
No.
Oh, I see. Yes,
we're at. Me and my wife were shopping at Walmart today in Filac, and I couldn't believe they had a display for flip-flops already.
Yeah, well, I think, there's some places, Glenn, where the flip-flops are just there all the time because people like their flip-flops. Do you wear flip-flops?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
I do.
Do you wear flip-flops?
I do, yeah.
Like when you are out, like sightseeing?
You know, all summer when I'm traveling,
all
whatever,
summer.
I love, my feet love to just be out and being in the air, like, you know, it's fun.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm always afraid of them falling off my feet.
Well, I've had that once.
I live in Filac, and we caught the south end of that storm and that, but I'm just glad I didn't live in Green Bay. They really got nailed.
Yeah, my parents are in the Green Bay area. They got about 28 inches.
Come on!
Yeah, no, I can show you pictures from their house, too. Theirs is insane. Like, where the plows came through, it's over my mom's head.
Okay, everybody in Chicago, we're fine. We are just fine.
Nothing to complain about.
Yes, it is all good. Put your flip-flops on, your shorts, and a scarf.
Yeah,
you've got it all covered.
And your long black socks.
Rock that look, Glenn. I want to see you out there pushing the lawnmower or the snowblower at this point.
Right, exactly.
Your flip-flops, black socks, and a scarf.
Well, they had a guy post on Facebook. A guy was snowblowing, and he was just wearing a pair of shorts and boots.
Yeah, that's about
it. That's Wisconsin for you.
All right. Well, be well, Glenn. And
you too.
Be ready for that snow tomorrow. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I will be. All right, have a nice morning.
You as well. Before we go to the break, I want to play a little more audio. I was doing a little bit of research on Barbara Bush and some interviews that she had in the last several years. There was a lovely one there. Let's see, we have the... can you play the one with I don't know how women can vote for him? This one was during the election. Of course, her son, Jeb Bush, had been running for president of the United States against actually quite a big field of contenders, of course, one of whom was Donald Trump, who later became president of the United States. But this interview was kind of charming because she's sitting next to Jeb. She's talking about why she thinks he would make a good president. Of course, she'd already had her husband in the White House. Her son had been in the Oval Office. And so now here she is talking about the election that Donald Trump was running in.
Well, what about women?
How he's treated women.
Yes. I mean, unbelievable. I don't know how women can vote for someone who said what he said about Megyn Kelly. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. And we knew what he meant, too. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. Don't you get in his firing line. And money doesn't buy everything.
That's right.
It's accomplishments and what you're doing and giving, and it's incomprehensible to me.
Interesting moment from Barbara Bush. Again, First Lady Barbara Bush and First Mother Barbara Bush has passed away at the age of 92. More conversation and some more audio from the First Lady when we come back. More conversation with Steve Van Dinter. Your calls and texts coming in at 312-981-7200. We always love hearing from you. And if you're in the Netherlands, I don't know how to sort of, I don't know how much that costs you to call us. Maybe it's a little bit
Could be a little pricey.
It's a little pricey. And also, before we go to the break, isopropyl alcohol is fine, or ethyl alcohol works well, just from experience. So thank you for that. You have to put at least 80% or higher alcohol in your washer fluid for it to work. See, I don't want anyone trying this out. Do not try this out at home. More after this on 720 WGN. Michael's like, stop asking me how to pronounce things. You have a live read. Don't try to pronounce things. Michael, do you see the texter who says, where are you supposed to get, which ethyl do you get the alcohol from? So then that made me wonder if I was pronouncing it incorrectly, but Steve Van Dinter, and I was like, is it ether? Am I not saying something right? And I started getting in my head, and I shouldn't let people get into my head.
No.
Unless it's a fun kind of thing.
I mean, ethyl alcohol.
It's ethyl alcohol. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, we have to say hello to our friends. Earlier, we were talking about our friend Davide in Italy, and then we were talking about our friend Cliff in the Netherlands, and now we get a big hello from our friend in Scotland. We want to say hi to Robert. So I thank you. I'm obviously speechless. This is fantastic. If you want to know where folks are emailing me, it's pattyhappens@gmail.com. Again, that's pattyhappens@gmail.com.
Patty with an I.
P-A-T-T-I, happens. Like stuff happens, like bad things happen. Because the reason I chose that was I can take any situation and make it exponentially worse. I can make it awkward. I can make it uncomfortable. Ask Michael. Michael and I were sitting in a meeting, and I started asking questions, and I started talking about a topic. He's like, what are you doing? Everyone's really uncomfortable right now. Can you make it stop? Stop.
You kept going, didn't you?
Yeah, I kept going. So I have to know, what fun stuff have you brought to share with us from Verizon?
Well, I'm excited that spring is eventually coming, and
spring is here.
It's here, but it's not quite here yet,
right?
It's here in calendar.
It hasn't revealed itself to us fully,
but that's what we're excited about.
It's
coming.
Coy.
Yeah, yes. We're getting excited for it. So you probably remember I'm a runner. But I have this limit. It's like 50 degrees is my outdoor running temperature.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, normally I can get out many times a winter at that. This year, hadn't been able to at all.
A little too cold. Is it more your lungs or your muscles? Which
it's
for you?
It's more the motivation, I think. If I know I'm going to suffer through those first few minutes outside, I'd rather sit on the couch.
There's a woman who has been running around the park that I live near, and we see her every time we drive by. She's always, every single day, like if I'm taking Griffin to school or if I'm out with Declan, she runs. Since we moved there in 2001, we have seen her pretty much every day for 17 years. Like sometimes I just go out just to see if she's running, and she just runs. Near us is a triangular kind of park, by like Rosedale Park, and you kind of it's sort of weirdly shaped, and there isn't sidewalk all the way around it, so it's interesting because she'll run in the street a little bit, and I just wonder why she chose that park to run around, because it doesn't, I mean, I guess it's just familiar.
I was gonna say, it could be like elevation. Maybe she doesn't want to have, like, I don't know if it's like
no
flat
variation.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, no variation from, like, she knows exactly how many times around is the distance she wants to do. I've been thinking about trying, I walked 11 miles each day when I was in Washington, D.C. I can walk forever.
Yeah.
I can walk forever. I'm not necessarily a runner, but obviously 11 miles would take me a very long time. I had all day to get from destination to destination. And I was thinking, what I do when I go running is I'll run and stop a little bit. I'll walk.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The point is just getting out and getting moving.
Yes.
And I personally like to gamify things. So, like, getting credit for it is important for me. So whether that's an app that's on my phone or
I'll
it's
pat
like,
you on the head. Good job.
Well, it's like personal thing. Like, if you're going to do it, you want to have bragging rights about it. So, like, for you, 11 miles, like, that's awesome. And to be able to get credit for it is a big deal.
I want Steve to read where the next email just came from.
So we got an email from Daniel from Jerusalem, Israel.
Thank you, Daniel.
How crazy is this? This is awesome.
This is wonderful. Again, pattyhappens@gmail.com.
I got P-A-T-T-I. Excited when Keith was calling in from Cape Canaveral, a couple months ago.
Yes.
But now look where we're at.
I think this is a wonderful evening.
This is huge.
I have to thank Justin Kaufman, because if it wasn't for Justin Kaufman apparently playing during my time slot while the White Sox were being broadcast live, people would not have been like, where were you? I was listening to some guy talking about Martin Luther King Day, which a good you know, show that night. Maybe that's why they chose it.
You probably have like some sort of cult following around the world. There's probably like these Facebook pages where people are, hey, you got to check out Patty. And
thank you for that.
Yeah,
whoever's doing that.
This is awesome.
I don't know how you found me, but I'm happy that you're here. And if you happen to get icy windshields, one of our listeners from the 847 says, I keep alcohol wipes in my car. I wipe the windshield wipers with them and then they last longer.
Who knew?
Ooh, these are all good things that we're learning. So you were saying that you like to gamify your runs. And are there particular apps that you...
So yeah, for sure. So my favorite, I like free stuff. So Runkeeper is a great app for me. It's a free app. What I like about it also ties in, if you do have Spotify that you pay for, I pay for Spotify. It ties in nicely with that as well. So with one click of a button, I can start my run tracking. I can actually do live broadcasting. So if people want to follow along and make sure from safety purposes or just kind of cheering you on purposes, they can see your run.
Well, if they're following you while you run, one of the things that I always say no to when I use like Noom or, you know, any of the Samsung apps, it always asks, you want to share your map because it shows where I run. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to do
that. I wait to share it till the end.
Right.
But if I'm going to.
Yes.
And usually only if it's an exceptionally long or something you really want to be proud of.
I found an app called Running, but I haven't. I've loaded it, but I
haven't started it yet.
So it's like today's workout, whenever that day is, because I'm kind of waiting for it to be a little bit warmer too. But I should get out there. I also want the right shoes. I'm kind of a
time to get some new shoes. It's spring.
I'm an equipment motivated exerciser.
You got plenty of great weather right now to go inside shopping, and then when it gets warm, you can wear those nice shiny new shoes outside.
This is a true story.
But you know what? That's the thing though. Like a lot of people use that as motivation. I know people that get excited about having new shoes, and that's the driver for them to get out and do it. So whatever it is to get you active.
I bought a pair of Sauconys that I thought I was going to love. I loved the color and everything, and the heel was too low, like around the ankle. So then I'm going to say that then I became adversely motivated. I did not want to go running because I hated my shoes. So I do have to get some new ones at least to go. It shouldn't be about the equipment. It should just be about wanting to be healthier.
Right, but you know, like for us, it's usually a little bit more. But you know, the other thing too, like, so I've got the Fitbit Versa, and I know I showed you this a couple weeks ago, but what's fun when you tie this in with your friends who have Fitbits as well, I don't know if you've done it. I think you have one, right?
I do. I don't have a Fitbit. I have a Motorola 360.
Well, Fitbit, they've got this network where you find other friends, and every week it gives you kind of a rundown of how active they were, and so you see a leaderboard of like you versus your friends, and we haven't actually voiced this competition, but every week I look at that email to make sure I'm on top.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And... That's good.
Not to say I'm competitive, but I am.
I can imagine. So what do you usually run? What do you run at, like a 5-6 miles?
So yeah, typically it's around 5. If I'm going to do it, if it's nice out, may push it a little bit more. When I was in Minneapolis, I went to Orange Theory for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And that was wild. Like, they hook a heart rate on you and you compete against all the other people in there. So I hopped on that treadmill and I just like,
I want to compete about everybody at the Orange Theory.
You're kind of competing against yourself, they say. But in reality, I was like watching the board.
You saw the board. Is there anything that you do exercise-wise that you could see gamifying? Like, I know you like yoga and you also dance. I don't see there's anything that we do besides running that we could gamify.
Yeah.
What about like walking steps?
I do like doing... So I just got a smartwatch. Mm-hmm. And I do like to see the steps thing.
Right.
Because then it'll be like, ooh, I only have to walk 3 more blocks and I'll hit my thing or whatever.
I was going to say, so when you see that you're close to the daily goal, do you ever find yourself before bed like pushing it a little bit?
I did that when I was in DC. Mm-hmm. Have you done that, Ez?
I'll like around here, because we have pretty long hallways, I'll start to walk around more.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I will too. Like if I'm you know, daily goal 10,000 steps and I'm at like 9,700 before bed, I'm like doing a couple laps around my apartment, like probably looks weird, but...
Well, and I sent a screenshot to my husband. This is before I walked extra so I could go past 10.33. He's like, what was his spike at like 7:30? I was like, I was trying to catch Griffin at the Lincoln Memorial because I was stalking
Your pictures
son.
Were great, by the way.
Oh my God, I had so much fun in D.C. Have you been to D.C.?
I have, yeah.
Oh,
it's awesome.
It's so much fun. Let's talk about more gear and gadgets with Steve Van Dinter, our friend from Verizon. You can follow him at S. Van Dinter on Twitter, and follow him on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yes, and Facebook's a VZ Gadget Guy.
VZ Gadget Guy. More with him when we come back on 720 WGN. Our tech guru, our gadget guy, Steve Van Dinter, joins in the studio. We want to thank Verizon for letting him bring some very fun toys in the studio. So you've been traveling. Weathered an April blizzard in Minnesota. What are you looking forward to when it comes to some of the gadget stuff?
I'm looking just to get out and actually use some of it outside.
Yes.
Springtime. It's a great time to get out and hit the pavement and stuff, and I brought some of my faves.
I'm looking at the boxes. I'm like, what did you bring? What toys did you bring?
So one of the things, it's simple. It's not very sexy, but it does kind of make a big difference, especially if you want to bring your device with you, and you probably have one of these, or maybe you've looked at one.
Yeah, armband.
Feel how lightweight this one is. So this
is that like a neoprene?
Yeah, so it's the in-case active armband. You can put your phone in there, and you can still use your touchscreen, which is nice. Some people don't have the smartwatch that's got the LTE connection, so they want to still stream music. They want to get the credit, like I talk about with their app. And so this is a great way to put your device in and have it do whatever you need it to do, which is stream the music, which is keep you connected if you've got kids at home, things like that. And it's lightweight. So that's the thing. You don't want to be weighted down, right?
I had to take my case off. I have an OtterBox. Yeah. It's very hard.
And they make different sizes for them.
Do you want to know what I run with? I know that people, make fun of me for wearing, I call it a hip pouch.
Like a fanny pack?
Okay.
See, but it's cool now.
They're back in.
I don't know. Whenever people say that, it doesn't seem to be true because every time I wear one, someone makes fun of me for it.
You gotta hang out with the young kids.
It's not like a neon from the 90s, though, is it?
No, it's leather and sleek, and it looks like a little pouch.
That would still be cool.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because retro's cool now. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to buy you one wear one.
No, thank you.
Okay, then.
Go to Lollapalooza, though. You will be the coolest one there.
Only if I can bury some booze. That's what these kids do, they bury the booze like months out, and then they have a treasure map.
Literally in the park?
Within the grounds of Lollapalooza, because you're not allowed to bring in alcohol, and it's very expensive there.
That is economical.
I was going to say, that is pretty genius.
Yeah, but I'm guessing...
There's probably tech that we could use for that. I'm thinking you could put a tile tracker on it.
I'll bet you they do.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I'm guessing there's some videos out there, too, of people.
Probably. It's probably on YouTube.
So this is an in-case armband. It is... Plus, it's a machine. Will you machine wash this? Do you wash it with this little plastic thing on?
It's all washable. I'm guessing it's not dry. I don't think you want to throw it in your dryer.
Yes. Do not iron either. Not bleach.
So keep it away from extreme heat.
And lay flat to dry.
And you'll be good to go.
That's what she said. That doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense, Michael, what I just said. Strike that from the record, will you? Strike it from the record.
Hit the button.
I do love having the ability to use my phone when I'm on a walk or a run. One, to track how much I've been walking. Also, to keep in touch and have some music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all fun stuff.
Are you a corded headphone user, or are you a Bluetooth person?
I'm a Bluetooth.
You got a Bluetooth.
Yes.
Even when you're walking around running?
When I do, I have to, because I can't, earbuds don't really stay in my ear. That's why I like this, because it's retractable and I always have it. But earbuds don't stay in my ear as well. I do have ones that they're wired, but they have a hook over the ear.
Got it. Yep. So you want to keep them in place.
Yes.
I've got, for people who are into fans of the traditional headphones, check this out. So it's not the headphones themselves, but there's this little device. It's a very strong magnet. You put it inside your shirt.
Oh!
And it holds on to your string for you.
So it's not bouncing around.
Right. Now,
we don't sell it, but
this is kind of something inexpensive by a company called Kling.
Yes.
You see, I was kind of moving past that.
As you should. That's appropriate. Go ahead.
You just put that inside.
You are so many. It's just sinking in now. You're so many shades of pink.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
All right, then. Go ahead.
But you put the one side. It's a very, very strong magnet, but you put it on one side of your coat or one side of your shirt.
It even goes through my thick leather.
There you go. And then you put your headphones through it and your string itself.
Wait, so do you feed it through this little...
I don't know if you want to call it a crevice or whatever.
Little
feed it in.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to hold them in place. I got those a couple of years ago, and I like it. Yeah. When I want to use the corded ones. Now, typically, I'll use a Bluetooth headset, but there are occasions when my Bluetooth is dead because I forget to charge it.
That is
the one key with the Bluetooth. That's the big thing. It's like the battery life. You got to make sure to charge them.
That is a great idea. I think that for a lot of people who want to keep track of their earbuds, I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, it's a nice way to do it.
I like that. I've been noticing people using more magnets. I get really nervous when they have the kind that you can kind of put inside your case to put it on the dash and stuff. I see those and I never know. I don't buy those.
So the funny thing is, maybe not funny, but the new the Samsung devices, they all have that magnetic actually in them already. already. So when you use their magnetic charger, it has a magnet that connects it to it. So, because I for a while was like, oh, is it going to wreck my phone?
Right.
And then when they started putting them in there, I was like, well, it can't be doing anything bad.
I guess. Yeah. I had no idea they were doing that. You have more earbuds?
I do. Yeah. So music is obviously a big motivator for a lot of people. So I got three different choices here.
Okay.
I know you and I have talked about Bluetooth in the past. Like, that's kind of my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
These ones are super, super lightweight. So if you still like having the option of having a cable that connects the two, this is the Plantronics Backbeat Fit 305. The key with them, super lightweight. So you get like the 7-hour battery life, and they're Bluetooth, but they're going to have the ability to be lightweight and not
weighing
you down.
It's almost like a little, like the same material you have on the bungee, sort of coating on bungee cord.
Yeah, so it's like a kind of, I don't know if it's like a neoprene or what, but it's going to be waterproof, which is nice.
I like that.
Then you got Bose's here, which are the SoundSport Free.
People love their Bose, don't they?
They do, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
And what I like about these is the carrying case itself is a magnetic charger.
It's
not going to pop out. And two, we talk about, you know, putting it back and then having the charge be there. Like, these are going to make sure that they're always charged up. So if you're like me and sometimes they just pop around in your bag and you forget to charge them, that's going to make sure that, you know, that you're good to go. Now, the key there is obviously making sure that the case is fully charged as well.
Yeah. Well, these are interesting because there's no cord to these, Michael. Do you see these little pods that you pop in your ear? This reminds me of the kind of technology they use in spy movies and stuff. We're going to get that small. We're going to say that
You won't even see them.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to see them pretty soon, but these are very cool.
And then JBL also makes a similar kind called the JBL Free.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, again, completely separate Bluetooth ones, so they pop into each ear.
These are teeny.
Aren't they small?
Yeah, I like these a lot. I'm sure they're going to be great for some people, but I just think I would be afraid to lose these,
right,
wouldn't you?
Right. Well, again, the case is magnetic, but if you lose it mid-run, that could be a problem.
Well, these are very funny. You probably noticed, though. You stop hearing things out of one ear.
Right.
Like, wait a minute. I can hear.
Unless you're just so in the zone.
That's true.
And one other thing I was going to tell people is, I'm not sure, you know, like, so many people nowadays have Amazon Prime membership, right? And one of the things I didn't realize until recently is the free music subscription you get with Amazon Prime. So it's called Amazon Music. You get ad-free music, and there's a ton of like running playlists and things like that. You just download it to a separate app. It's called Amazon Music. But if you don't want to pay for Spotify and you already have a Prime membership, you might as well take advantage of it because it's out there.
There
and it's
you
free
go.
For you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And you can use it while you're running. And we get
absolutely.
As long as you have your phone with you.
You got to have your phone with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
exactly.
good to go.
Well, look at all these these Bluetooth and all the wired.
It's like a runner's Christmas over here.
It's so funny. Whenever someone gets a new piece of tech, I love that they share it online. They'll take pictures of it on Instagram.
The unboxing and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or I think it's the great thing about being able to share things on social media is, one, you can ask people for advice. You know, people always ask, hey, you know, are you guys using Comcast or using DirecTV?
Uh-huh.
What do you guys recommend for your Bluetooth devices? So this is great that you have all these different choices because, like you said, you have the JBL, the Bose, you have the Plantronics as well. And that's kind of the nice range of the great sort of
it is, and it's different
devices.
Price ranges too. So with the Plantronics, it's roughly half the price of what you're gonna pay for the Bose or the JBL. But for some people, like, you know, the price is the major factor and the lightweight factor. So they don't care that there's a cord connecting them. They want to have the freedom from their phone, and they can.
Right. I think Plantronics makes really nice
Bluetooth
devices.
Yeah, they sound great.
And I see with the LG, it is a little bit weird because it's obviously a harder plastic around my neck. But because I don't run very far, like I told you, I just sprint. and then I walk a little.
Right.
And then I run a little. And then I walk a little.
Well, and those are nice too. You know, those are great to use when you're relaxing as well. So it serves a dual purpose for you.
Well, and as you've seen me walking with the silver bracket around my neck.
Oh yeah, and you're talking, and I just don't know what I'm like.
She
are
looks
you talking
like a boss,
to me,
right?
Or
who are you talking to right now? She's in the middle of a conversation. But people always think this is a necklace too. I've gotten compliments.
Oh, I can
on this.
See that. Okay,
yeah, I've gotten compliments on it as a necklace, and I'm like, no, it's just my Bluetooth.
Yeah, if they're not like looking close enough, I guess.
Right. Well, I think that actually it would be nice if they did make it a little bit, but then you'd have to match it for every outfit. So just that
right, then
one.
You're gonna have to pay more money for it. Or...
Do you listen to books on tape as well?
I do. Yes. I use Audible.
Okay.
I've got a number of them that I've downloaded, and then mainly for, like, I find when I'm in the car, I cannot work out to an audiobook. I've tried it. And I don't know what it is about it, but like you would think like this will take my mind off of the next hour. It doesn't. I think it makes the time slow down.
I think because you also want to be able to focus on some of the details of either the storytelling or, you know, whatever the subject matter is. Your brain can't quite do the walking and it wants to hear what's happening.
Right.
Whereas music, you know, it keeps you going. It puts you in the, what do you work out to? What's your playlist like?
Ooh,
you a little, what are you, an AC/DC? Are you,
you're going to laugh. I do a lot of either EDM or reggaeton.
Okay. Reggaeton makes sense.
Yeah. So, both of them kind of have a very fast beat. So typically I'm looking at like a 175, 180 beats per minute type music. And then...
Sure. That's what... I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, that's how many beats per minute.
I understand.
And then like I try to get the steps to match that. So when I'm running quickly, you know.
That makes sense, though. Keeps it going. Michael, do you work out to any particular playlists?
Yes, absolutely. I have a set playlist that it goes with the BPM of my running.
And, really?
But I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks actually lately because to burn away the time while I'm working out. It's great to run to, and it's very hard unless you're really into the book, and then you kind of just you surpass it.
That's the key there. If you're trying to concentrate, I feel like it's really hard to push yourself in the workout and listen closely.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go through my music. I'm like, I kind of just do like shuffle.
Okay, no, that works too.
You know, but at any moment I might get like Pink or I might get Bing Crosby.
You never know, right?
That's kind of the wide range.
Well, that's why I like some of the curated playlists too, because then it takes the pressure off of you. And like, you know, sometimes I'll do like, late afternoon Pump Me Up Run music playlist and just kind of see what you get.
There you go. I'll bet you anything. If I were to play a shuffle, honestly, I'm pretty sure it would either be. I can almost guarantee.
Please be Bing Crosby.
Let me see what happens. Nope, can't get it to work. Oh, I also wanted to play a little bit more audio from. I thought that was when I was doing some research on Barbara Bush, because I kind of grew up during the end of Reagan's administration early, and then of course George H.W. Bush's time in the White House. I was always drawn to her. I thought that Barbara Bush was this really compelling person in the White House, and her passion and compassion always intrigued me. And I was fascinated because, you know, Bill Clinton obviously beat George H.W. Bush in the election. He did not have a second term. And here are First Lady Barbara Bush's thoughts on Bill Clinton.
Your husband and Bill Clinton have become good friends.
That's right. My husband, Bill Clinton, and I have become great friends. And Bill visits us every summer, and we don't agree politically, but we don't talk politics. And I think you'd have to understand, I read someplace, before you're critical of someone, you should remember that they did not have the advantages you had as a child. A loving mother and father. Bill's father wasn't around. And I think that he thinks of George a little bit like the father he didn't have. And he's very loving to him. And I really appreciate that. And when they went on that long tsunami trip, George told me Bill insisted he stay in the bed. And Bill insisted that he was taken care of. And that was really nice. I love Bill Clinton.
Oh, it's just an interesting moment. I had not heard that interview. That interview is if you want to look for, obviously the best place to go is on YouTube. You can Google, you can search for Barbara Bush interviews, and you kind of get some of the insight on her when she gets a chance to speak herself. I actually have a speech that she gave at an event not too long ago. We'll play a little bit about that. Well, for Tell Me Something Good, my something good will be Barbara Bush. 312-981-7200. More after this, and celebrating her life. She has passed away at the age of 92. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
We are wrapping up. We had a short show tonight, post White Sox game, hanging out with Steve Van Dinter, our gadget guy, our tech guru from Verizon. You can follow him on Twitter at @SVanDinter, and you can also follow him on, you said Facebook page is?
VZ Gadget Guy.
VZ Gadget Guy, and also on Instagram. S. Van Denter?
S. Van Denter, yes.
There you go. Find. He's got some great photos, and he has a lot of fun doing what he does. And, of course, Nick D. is up next. We're taking your calls and texts. Tell me something good. Patrick has something he wants to share with us. Hey, Patrick, how are you doing tonight?
Super. So I have two something goods.
Okay.
First off, you are my something good every night that you're on.
Aw, thank you so much for that, Patrick. Appreciate that.
And then second, you guys were talking about, you know, when you're working out and stuff to listen to.
Uh-huh.
Carl Lamari has an app, I want to say. So he has a link or something that you can listen to full audio, full tapes of all the radio shows and TV shows that were, you know, like before TV was like king of everything, like they, just all old cool shows, man.
What are some of your favorites? I know I was listening on Saturday night. I was doing laundry, listening to Carl Amari show, and it was incredible listening to there was a pause.
Oh,
it was the Western. I think it was a Western on Wednesday. There was the bad guy was in the house with the woman and the kids, and there was like a pause, and I was like, it's radio, and instinctually for me when I'm here that bothers me, but I was surprised at how suspenseful it was to just all of a sudden have silence. Yeah, I was like.
It's theater of the mind.
It was great.
It's so awesome. I love it. I literally, Saturday and Sunday nights, I try to get my dad to listen to it. He's like 82, and again, you know, it brings him back to his,
when
he was a kid, you know. He didn't get to watch TV. He didn't get to lounge and watch TV. Couch potato was not a word that anybody knew. And yeah, I mean, I just, when I work out, you know, I mean, I listen to those shows. Like The Whistler. That's an awesome one. I forget the guy's name. He's a detective, and he's not a legal detective. He's kind of a badass, if you will. And like, he gets answers and stuff. You know, he's not kind. I forget the name. There's just so many of them. The one with the guy with Jack Benny. I think it is
right. Oh yeah, I love Jack Benny. Yeah.
He has the girl, and then he has the service, the black guy that like gives him crap all the time. Like anytime he says something, he's like, "Yeah, whatever, sir." You know, it's just it's crazy because it brings you back to a time that is never ever going to happen again. Thank God, but at the same time, it's kind of cool.
Was it Rochester? Rochester.
Yes, Rochester. Yes. Yeah. You are correct.
It was bothering me. I was like, I can do this without looking it up, but it was. I knew it was something that was unique, but you know, a name that doesn't quite come to mind right away unless you're familiar with the Jack Benny show. But yeah,
Carl mixes it up every week. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that he doesn't play the same stuff. But if you do his whatever his, I forget what it is. Is it an app or I forget?
Well, it might also be because everything we do is podcast. So any show that we have on the air is also podcast.
Yeah, but you've got something separate. I thought that you can just listen to the shows themselves. You don't have to listen to the commercials.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear that you're a fan. And by the way, Sandy in Woodstock says she doesn't miss the WGN Radio Theater with Carl and Lisa on Saturday on 11. And there's a VA benefit coming up with WGN. I know that Mike Toomey will be on that show on April 29th. Again, it's a VA benefit at the Woodstock Opera House. I will be this Friday night at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights. I'm performing Lipstick Mom. Would love to have everyone come out to the show. It'd be great to see you all there. So again, that's this Friday night at the Metropolis Theater in Arlington Heights. And it's one of my, I love that theater. It's just so, plus it's not just because it's not too far from my house, but
that may have a factor.
I'll be telling I've got some new stories and I've got some of the old stories too. So if you bring somebody, I promise there'll be something new for you and hopefully some of your favorites. I do talk about my boys, but I have some news. This isn't something good. And I know that I'm hijacking my own segment to tell you something stupid. Esmeralda was out with me last night while we were waiting for the White Sox game to end. For the second time in my entire life, I don't know how this happened, but I managed to close a car door on my finger.
Oh no!
How does one even do that?
It takes talent.
The other time I did it, I had to have surgery on my thumb. Well, it was my dad's Crown Vic. Steve was driving, and I slammed the. I think it must have been like going back to reach for something and I'd already started closing the door. And so I've done it twice to myself. I seem to be capable of inflicting pain on myself. And I like to think it's because one of two things, either because I'm left-handed, right, and everything is kind of just slightly off for me, which is, I think, is just an excuse for me to say I'm a klutz. And the other thing is my husband believes it's because I'm not thinking in the moment. I'm thinking of the next thing I need to do rather than what I'm actually doing. Because I will walk into a door jam. Like, I'll be standing at a door talking to you, turn around and walk right into the door jam. And here's the one I don't understand. I think more people do this, and maybe they don't talk about it. I don't know how I manage to bite anything on the inside of my, like, my cheek
oh,
and my
tongue. My cheek a lot.
What is that? It's always there.
I don't know how that happens.
How do I mean, like,
it's frustrating.
Is it out of excitement? Oh my God, this is amazing. And you just like take a much bigger bite and just suck in your cheeks and just chomp down on them. Because the next thing I know, I'm like, this tastes like blood.
And then it's a sore and it's going to last for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And you keep re-aggravating it. Yeah.
Yeah, because then it swells up and you bite on it some more.
You would think that we've gotten to the point where you'd think you have enough practice throughout your life to be able to avoid chewing on your own the inside of your face.
Apparently not.
No practice. Okay, before we go, I wanted to play. Oh, do we want to play a little bit of that clip of? We don't have enough time. Michael just gave me a. You talk too much. You talked about biting your tongue, which you should do, so we can end the show. Steve, before we go, tell me something good.
I'm just happy to be back here in Chicago.
Not having to do any shoveling.
Right.
Nick D is up next. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.